Mississippi. Corets.
Good morning, family. My name is Cora and I'm an addict.
Good morning.
Let's take that moment to allow God to come into the room, take me out of. Again, my name is Cora and I'm an addict.
Cora.
When I got this topic, you know, I met Eddie, the guy that invited us to come and share at this convention in Greenville, I want to say about 8 years ago or more. And he just came in from a relapse. And we were all sitting around the table and stuff like we do, you know, newcomers and stuff, you know, trying to give them encouragement and stuff, you know, to continue on and whatever. So that's been my foundation since I got here. Thank God for predecessors. Thank God for the people who took the time to sit with me and to help me grow through this process. You know, there's a nursery rhyme with the three little pigs. The first little pig, you know, he, and the wolf was always chasing him. First little pig, he built his house of straw. So whenever a little problem came along and he couldn't deal with it and stuff, the wolf came and said, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. The disease of addiction took over one more time. So then he ran to the next house. There was three of them. Second pig, he built his on wood. So he came in, he did a few steps, you know. He talked about some of the issues, but he didn't get a sponsor. He didn't work with a network. He didn't get to the group, root of the problem. So the disease of addiction came again and it said, I'm gonna huff and I'm gonna puff and I'm gonna blow your foundation down. So once again, the disease of addiction took control and it blew that house down. All that work, all that effort and stuff was gone out of the world. So then the third little pig came in like I did, broken. Came in with no concept of how to live without using drugs. He came in and he said, all of these other things that I've been doing haven't been working. What do I do? So when we got here, you know, predecessors was waiting at the door and they welcomed him home, told him, you know, that this is a simple program. You know, we make it complicated. The basic text does not change. The wording of any of our literature does not change to suit us. It says it's a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. It says it's a simple and proven program that works if you apply yourself to the guidelines of what the program asks you to do. So this third little pig came in like me, shaking, trembling and stuff, and humble enough to say, I don't have all the answers. Humble enough to say that, help me. And he went to the old timers and he looked around and he talked to them and stuff and they shared their experience, strength and hope, and they told him, said, now if you want what we have to offer and you are willing to, you know, take certain steps. They didn't tell him to take one step, you know, they told him steps. They said, by the time you get to this 12th step, you'll have a spiritual awakening. So this little pig and myself, I, you know, came in and applied what I was being taught. You know, it talked about service from the beginning, you know. Back when I came in, we were emptying ashtrays and, you know, picking up cups and all of that. And was decided to do it. Whatever my sponsor asked me to do at that time, I was more than willing to do it because I know my way wasn't working. My first sponsor was the type of person that believed in asphalt recovery. She believed in you getting outside of your area, going places and getting to know people and stuff. So we've been traveling for the last 18 years. And my clean date, by the way, is April the 16th, 2001. We've traveled from New York to Texas and all around and around. And it's six of us. And when something is going on with us, we're there for each other, whether it's in the rooms or outside of the room. We've all had a lot of struggles and difficulties and stuff in our life, but there's one thing that I do know, and that I can count on these six people, if nobody else in the world is there for me. So that meant that this time I came in and I built that house on the bricks. So when the disease of addiction came and huffed and puffing, it's been huffing and puffing for 18 years, I'm still here. I'm still here surrounded by a network of people who love me unconditionally. I am so grateful to be alive today. I was talking about, you know, the times, tough times that we go through. For like the last year or so, my health has begun to decline. I was in and out of the hospital just about every other month or so, one situation to the next situation. And when you don't know what's going on with you physically, you know, it kind of just messes with your head mentally, and you're going like, okay, I'm of that age that, you know, I might be fitting to go, you know, what do I do? And I went back and I thought about the fact that, you know, this isn't just for the day program. I'm going to try to do the best I can on every day. You know, no matter what's going on and stuff, you know, I get up and make the effort. I fight to be alive today. That last diagnosis was COPD. So I have problems breathing. I have problems, you know, smelling any type of fumes of any kind and stuff. I can go into a coughing fit, you know, and it takes me hours. All of a sudden, I just start spitting up stuff, you know. And so it's very unattractive, and you know, I've kind of isolated myself to the point where I'm in a certain zone and stuff, but I feel comfortable, you know, when stuff like this happens. So I slacked up on service. You know, a lot of the people who know me from Mississippi tell you, you know, I backed off from doing a whole lot of things that I used to do. But I had to make that adjustment in order to survive. It's not that I'm not still passionate about this program. It's not that I don't feel like it's the best thing in the world and that it saved my life. It's just that at this phase of my life, I've got to make some changes and I got to do some things different. I'm one of those people that share at H&I, so I don't know if I can do 30 minutes or not, but I do know that I want to emphasize the fact that if you want what we have to offer, then you got to do the work. I've seen people come in and ask me to sponsor them, and they say, you know, well, I want what you have. You know, I want to be able to live like this, and I want to be able to do this, and I don't want to have to go through this and go through that. And I'd give them to the same way I was given. You know, there's certain things that you still got to do. Still got to work the steps. You can't get around working the steps. I don't care, you know, where you are, what's going on with you, the answers and the steps. They said it, meeting makers make it, but those who work steps recover. There's a weed, a root inside of us that's, you know, built up with all the trauma and all these feelings and insecurities and stuff, you know. And if we chop off part of it, it's going to grow back. You know, it's going to act out in another area and stuff. If we just pull one of the leaves off, then it's going to grow back. But when you get to the root, you pull the root up and it dies in the light of the day. And that's because of step work. That's because of getting honest with yourself and with another human being. It's not always that my sponsor is the one that I get honest with. I got a network of strong women who I can go to and talk to about anything. And I'm so comfortable and I'm so glad that I have that release. I've been given a new life. I just celebrated my 65th birthday last month. I am a great-great-grandmother. Who would have thought? And it's an honor and a privilege to when they come to my house, I've got this chair that I've been sitting in, and I think for like the last 14 years or so, and it's all seasoned and everything from all the other babies that have been there. And last week, the latest little grandbaby was there. She's 2 months old, and she cuddled up around my neck, and she was just cooing and laughing and cooing and cooing. And that's what I look for all those years in the dope. All those years, that was all that I wanted. And I felt so at peace. I felt so good. And it's just like, I've had a lot of those moments. A lot of those moments. I've had the opportunity to be in the hospital room when one of my grandchilds was born. Child 13 now, he's tall as a tree. He's almost as tall as Stanford over there. 13! And I'm going like, wow. Time is passing, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with you all today, and I hope that what I said might touch and help somebody, but I'm done.
Thank you.
Help me thank Cora one more time for sharing her. Our next speaker is Billy F. Right here from Houston.
Right here. I'm setting my timer because I can get a little long-winded. Believe it or not, there's a couple of people in here that'll testify to that. My name is Billy. I'm a recovering addict. My clean date is 6/13 of 1990. For that, I'm truly grateful. So I'll start out by telling y'all, I live this program. I work the steps. I make meetings on a regular basis. I'd sponsor. I'm a sponsee. I work with my sponsor on that. I live this program daily. My book is not one that is all highlighted. I read some, but not a lot. What I do is I live this program. And for that, I'm truly grateful. I'm going to read the paragraph, and then I'm going to share it with y'all, if that's all right, if I can get this book far enough away. Narcotics Anonymous is a program of action, not theory. We do not think our way into a new way of living. We live our way into a new way of thinking. Before we got clean, our identity was built on fantasy, who we could be, would be, should be, or even who we used to be. In recovery, we connect with reality through action. We show up and do our part. We experiment with jobs, relationships, service commitments. Some of us begin simply by trying to keep a house plan alive. Wherever we start, each of us ventures out into the world clean and tries something new. We learn who we are by taking a stand, taking risks, and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable. Even when we make mistakes, we can learn something vital about ourselves. So, I'm real nervous, just tell y'all that. So when I got here, I had no clue about anything about NA. And so they started talking about the steps and all that stuff. And so I was working the steps. So I'm the kind of person that has to look up and see what words mean. Because I'm like that. So when I looked up theory, right, and it was talking about how theory is a course of ideas put into action. I can't find anything this morning. One moment. It says a coherent group of tested general propositions commonly regarded as correct that can be used as principles of explanation and prediction for a class of phenomenon. Y'all, we're phenomenon. It says right there in the dictionary, Webster's. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like that some days. I mean, there were days when I was out there that I never knew who I was or what I was doing. I was led blindly. I came in, I got hurt at work, and went through rehab, and I found Narcotics Anonymous that way. I don't think it matters how you get here, that you just get here. So I started by just showing up and going to meetings. And it was crazy because, you know, any other time I could walk in someplace and be perfectly fine. I could be whoever. But that was because I was full of whatever. And so I started going to meetings, and all of a sudden I'm you know, judging myself. I'm judging my outsides by the way that y'all look at me. I'm judging who I am by the way that I feel, because I feel so out of place. So they said, keep coming back. So I kept coming back. Made my 90 meetings in 90 days. I actually, for the first 2 years, I made a meeting every day. I didn't get in a relationship. I held down the same job that I had when I got here for 9 months, and then I decided I found self-worth in that first 9 months, and I knew that I was worth more than what I was doing, so I ended up moving jobs. So what I'd really kind of like to talk about is how the relationships in my life have helped me to be better, and how they've caused me to take a look at myself and how I treat people, how I treat myself, how I live today. My mind is so blank, y'all. It's just like, where is it? I'm all over the place. Cora was talking about the people that she runs with. And I have a group of ladies that let me go back to the first group of ladies that I ran around with. There was a group of us, there was about 10 of us for the first year or so, that we went to every dance, we went to every event, we went to every convention, we just hung out together. And slowly that group of people started dwindling. And what I didn't know is I was learning how to have a relationship. I was learning how to allow people to be where they were at. I was learning how to let go of things and people in my life that weren't positive. And that was hard to do, because I wanted to hold on to everything when I got here, before I got here. I didn't want to let go of a relationship that was obviously horrible. I didn't want to let go of the addiction, which was killing me. I didn't want to let go of any of that. And so when I got here, I ran with those people, and all of a sudden, they started going by the wayside. And this one, one night there was a whole group of people that was hanging out together, and one of the guys was on house arrest, and he had to be home at 9 o'clock. So as soon as the meeting was over, everybody would go over to Van and David's house. And so one night I'm kind of standing back, and I'm looking, and I'm like, where are y'all going? They're like, oh, we're going over to Van and David's. And I'm like, can I go? And they're like, yeah, just come on. So that group of people ended up being the group of people that showed me how to live. They showed me how to have a good time without the use of drugs. They showed me how to work the steps. They showed me how to live this life and to be more than what I was. They gave me the encouragement to move on beyond the job that I have, to find another job, to get past the relationship that wasn't working, to find myself before I took another hostage. So for the first 2 years, I really concentrated on myself. Not poster child by any means, but I didn't get in a relationship. I didn't cloud myself with those outside things. I stayed focused on my recovery. And the first couple of years, I worked the steps, I believe it was like 3 times, once in the rehab, once as soon as I got out on relationships, and then once again later on, just to cycle through. And what that did is it gave me a firm foundation. It gave me the ability to allow people to show me how to live. And because I had no idea. And so we were talking upstairs a while ago, and this is what I love about this program, is I can sit down and we can bring up one topic and we can sit there for hours and have a discussion about it. And we can disagree, and I can be okay with that. Your opinion doesn't have to be mine, doesn't have to be theirs, as long as it's all for the positive and the good. I didn't know how to have friendships. I didn't know how to be a good employee. I didn't know those things. I had a basic, my parents gave me a wonderful, excuse me, a wonderful set of morals and standards, and my parents were hardworking people. They never drank like I did, or anything else that I did. It was always in excess. But they gave me that, so I had that foundation of that. So the job thing really wasn't that bad. What happened, the jobs were always there. What always happened is I showed up, you know? And man, I can tell you, you know, my work history was great. And then I got to this point where I felt like I had this, you know, and I've got the answers, and I'm a boss, and I'm a manager, and what I say goes, and I don't care what HR says. And I remember one time telling the lady from HR, I'm not sorry for what I said or how I said it, and I'm not going to apologize. 2 weeks later, I lost that job, you know, because I had absolutely no sense of humility as far as being there. And so I've lost jobs, I've lost relationships, I've lost parents, I've lost people that I love, people that are still alive, that are out there, that have taken a piece of my heart and gone back out. What that has done is help to be able to cement my recovery, is to watch, and what does it say? A smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. You know, and I've watched people go out and come back in. I've watched people go out and die. And I've watched this disease wreak havoc in people's lives. And you know what? You don't have to be using for it to wreak havoc in your life. You know, there's been many times on different occasions that I've looked at myself in the mirror and not been happy about who I am. You know, not be happy about the road that I'm heading on. And I know that where the solution is in the steps. I know the solution is sitting down and talking one-on-one to another addict and telling them where I'm at. I know that that I have a sponsor that I use on a regular basis because she has that knowledge to be able to guide me. And if she doesn't have that knowledge, she'll surely tell me, and I'll go find it someplace. I'll talk to somebody, or I'll keep talking about it until I find someone who's been where I'm at. There's a group of us. Okay, so I'm gonna say this: if you don't have a home group, find a home group. My home group is the best home group in Texas. Our Common Bond. I'll tell you how I got to Our Common Bond, and this may be a little bit off track, but it is what it is. It's where God's going. So I had the same home group for 23 years, you know, and I felt real comfortable there and I felt real safe there. And what happened though was that home group had a lot of sickness and it had a lot of disease in it, you got to move around, right? And you've got to get your sponsees involved. You got to get newcomers, whether they're sponsees or not newcomers, you got to get them involved, because it would be whoever was chair, whoever was treasurer, whoever was secretary, whoever was GSR, it would kind of just all jumble up, and GSR would be secretary, and the treasurer would be the chair, and the secretary would be the treasurer, and that happened for many years. And that group got real sick, and I got real sick in that group. And it caused me to do some things that I had to end up making amends for at 23 years clean. And I did some things. I told a big ugly lie because I was caught up into the disease, because I wasn't recovering. I was just clean. And I moved away from there, and I moved, that was in Pasadena, so I moved out to Katy. So y'all that don't know, it's like Pasadena's here and Katy is in East San Antonio. All right. So I decided that, because this was where I felt comfortable, this was my home group of 23 years, I was still going to drive from Katy all the way to Pasadena, and that's where my recovery was, and that's where I wanted to be, and that's where I was comfortable, and that's where I felt like I was somebody. You know, so I mean, that's the disease talking to me. In that period of time, so we moved in 2012, I think the first meeting, 2013 in June, I think the first meeting that I made was in 2014, I think. Anyway, at my home group. And my dad had passed away. I had a major surgery, and I was making about one meeting a month, maybe. And I knew that I was in trouble. I knew that I needed to put some action into my recovery. I knew I needed to find a place, and I knew that I was not fixing to relapse, but I knew that I was miserable, and I didn't get clean to be miserable. So I ran into a young man at the coffee shop, and I had a state convention T-shirt on. He's like, "Hey, I know about that." And so we had a little conversation, and I ended up finding our common bond. Y'all, as much as I traveled and wanted to stay inside that little comfortable box that I had built for myself, you know, this meeting was like less than 5 minutes from my house, you know. And instead of driving 45 minutes to an hour and a half all the way across town on Friday evening to make a meeting, I could just go 5 minutes down the road and there were my people. And I went to our common bond, and it was a new group, and it was fresh, and it was something different, and they carried their books, and they were into the solution, and it was some younger people, and what they did was they inspired me to be better than what I was. It wasn't because of anything that they did, but it was because of everything that they were doing. They were looking for those solutions. They were talking about the steps. They were talking about being involved. They were talking about making a difference, and I wanted all those things. And what I realized is that when I resist what God keeps trying to do, the only person that really causes pain is me. You know, God had been trying to move me around for close to a year, and I kept digging my heels in and not wanting to go. And when I finally let go of that, I found a world that was far better, not far better than the recovery, it's just maybe my next level of recovery, you know. And my home group makes me want to be better than what I am. My home group makes me want to give back, you know. The action that I see the people there putting into their recovery makes me want to put action into my recovery. And if your home group isn't inspiring you to be a better you, then find some place that inspires you to be a better you. Inspires you because with time, sometimes you can get into a comfortable spot where you think you know, and that's a real dangerous spot for me to be in. You know, I know. I got this. You can't tell me anything. I knew that. I love y'all. I knew that when in my mind I was saying things like, Motherfucker, when you've been alive as long as I've been clean, then bitch, you can say something to me. Until then, you need to shut the fuck up, because I know. I'm just telling you, that's where my mind was, and I'm like, I can't do this. I've got to open it up. I've got to be like, I've got to let them carry me and teach me, you know? I can't graft a new idea onto an old mind, right? And for me to be like that is dangerous. So I found a sponsor, and I've been working with her, and she's really helped me. She's helped me to allow people to be where they're at again, you know? And I mean, it's all things that I know. Sometimes it's just hard to practice those things because there's so much, right? There's so much information and so many different ways. And I mean, Cora's recovery is different but the same as mine. You know, Michelle's recovery is different but the same as mine. And though she doesn't get to the same place as I am, the same exact way as I did, she did it through 12 steps. Michelle did it through 12 steps. I've done it through 12 steps. Right now, I'm having to take that hard look at myself again, and I'm fixing to start my sixth step. And I know I need to do that. I know because of the things that I hear myself saying to myself, you know, because of the self-righteous, indignant things that go through my head, because of the, and so, look, I can be self-righteous, indignant, and then the next, like, I can be less than and not worthy, you know. And there's got to be, and I know because I've been there, and I'm there sometimes, most days, every now and then. I'm in that in-between where there's a balance, you know. And it's that balance in between all those things that helps me to be able to move forward and share. Like I said, I'm not a big book thumper. I'm not one. You know, I was in a meeting one time, and the guy opened his book, and I'm looking down. You know how we all look at. Don't say you don't, because we all do. Because you open up your book and you look around, and some people have like got stuff written all over it, you know, and highlighted and this and that. Y'all, bro, mine's like nothing. I didn't pick up books in school, and I don't pick up books a whole lot here. I think I have two or three things that are underlined in here. I was trying to find where that. I got little marks that are from where we did. I even lead the book study. But you know why I lead the book study? So I'll open the fucking book. Huh? You know, because that's where I learn, because I want to hear what y'all have to say. Y'all got to teach me. You know, I'm teachable. And I try real hard to be involved. I try to give back. I made 10 pounds potato salad for our hospitality suite, you know. I see the newcomers coming in, and it's like it's just like the ladies told me when I first got here. If you want what I have, then do what I do. You know, I'll show you. I can help you, but I can't. I can't. You know, there's not a USB port in the back of my head where I can take everything that I've got and put it into your USB port in the back of your head so that I can give you everything I have. You have to live. You have to learn. You have to scrape your knee. You have to cry. You have to make mistakes at 23 years. You have to go make amends. You know, all of those things. Today, I'm here. I'm at a convention. I'm giving back. I'm doing what I was taught to do in the very beginning. You know, there's all different ways of getting there through each other's experience. But getting there and finding your experience with your God and taking care of yourself is your journey. And I've learned that each of us has our own journey, and I have to respect that. I respect other people's recovery today. I respect where they're at. And there was times when I didn't. There was times when I didn't feel like I respected anybody or anything. Y'all, I really feel like I'm rambling, and I know I got a whole lot more time, but I'm not going to sit up here and just ramble to hear myself talk and fill y'all with a bunch of bullshit, because I can do that, trust me, you know? But, because I am absolutely full of it. I'll tell you this, okay? My life is so blessed today, and where I'm at, I had no idea that I would be here today. You know, when we get here, they tell us, you know, just for today, you know, stay in today. And so I thought for a long time that staying in today meant that I didn't think about the future, that I just stayed in today. I just worked on what was in front of me. And I mean, for a long time, that's all I could do, was just work on what was right in front of me. And then I began to talk to myself and say, okay, a couple of years down the road, this is where I'd like to be, you know? And then a couple of years down the road, a couple more years down the road, this is where I'd like to be. And then I start having long-term plans, and I start having long-term goals. And Narcotics Anonymous and the people in there have taught me how to set those goals and work to achieve them. So today's goal is making it through today and meeting people that I've never met. That's today. Today, long term, is, you know, I watched my parents for years talk about how they wanted to travel and how they wanted to go and get the, man, I can remember going to these different travel shows and stuff with my folks, and they were going to buy this motorhome, and they were going to travel the United States, and they were going to do this, and they were going to do that. And my mom's health got bad, and they weren't able to do that. And, man, I guess along with a good set of morals and standards, they ingrained that in me, because my plan is, and at first it was like by the end of the year, and now I'm like, okay, I'll be happy if it's by March. But the thing about it is I'm working towards that goal. I'm working towards that goal spiritually. I'm working towards that goal financially. I'm working towards that goal with my friendships. I'm working towards that goal and things in the way that I live my life today. By next March, I'd like to have a fifth wheeler. I bought a truck. I'd like to have a fifth wheeler and travel the United States. My wife's health is good, but it's not great. And I feel like if we don't do it now, within 3 to 5 years, we're not going to be able to do it. And so within 3 to 5 years, I'd like to find a place around Houston to be able to set those roots. But until then, I want to travel. I want to go see what's going on out there. I want to make meetings in the Pacific Northwest. I want to go to New England and see the leaves change in the fall. And I want to see what's up in the recovery up there. I want to go to Southern California and see what's recovery like down there. I have a plan. You know, and I talk to God about it, and I pray about it, and if it's supposed to be, it'll be. You know, I can put it all down on paper, you know, and say, this is how it's exactly going to be. And it's like that graph thing that's on Facebook, you know, and it's like, here's the graph, and this is exactly how it's going to work, and this is where I'm going to be, and this is what happens. And it's like, oh my God, you know. Yeah. And I have that plan, I have that dream, and through Narcotics Anonymous, I know that it could happen if I work towards it, if I'm diligent about it, and if it doesn't happen, my world won't fall apart, I won't end up using, I'll just be okay, it'll be all right, no matter what. It's going to be okay as long as I don't put drugs in my body and I do the next right thing. My God has no limits, And I heard a lady say that a couple of years ago. She said, don't put your God in a box. God can't breathe in a box. Don't put limits on what your God can do. And I was just like, and I've been around, you know. I mean, I know that, but you don't hear it till you hear it, you know. And I heard it. And I heard that message. And I know that my God has greater things for me than I could ever imagine. I got some imagination, too. And so if I just suit up, show up, and do the next right thing, I start my day. Start my day with prayer. We prayed in the morning, in the room this morning. I was like, "All right, y'all, come on." And so they're sitting on the bed, and I prayed. You know, Mike was sitting up here reading, and I was praying. This program and the God of my understanding has given me a life far beyond my imagination. If I second guess any of those things, I'm only cheating myself. I'm only cheating what the plan is that God has for me, which I have no clue what it is, but there's a plan. And that plan was written out for me, I think, long before I even got to this room. And I'm going to suit up, and I'm going to show up, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be involved in my home group because I love that place. You know, I'm gonna make meetings other places because I love Narcotics Anonymous. I'm gonna keep coming back because I have a life today. Because my God is greater than anything that I could do if I walked out the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, and I don't want to take that chance. I don't want to be that one that walks out and never walks back. I don't want to be that one that walks out and thinks that they have everything, because, or all of the knowledge. I know. No, I don't. I don't know. I know a lot, but I don't know anything, you know. And as long as I stay teachable, as long as I keep coming back, as long as I trust God, work the steps, share with others, and suit up and show up every day, I'm going to be okay. So I hope y'all got something out of it. I feel like I was all over the place, but I'd like to thank HACNA for allowing me to share, and y'all have a great day.